We're here on Daf Pei Tes Omid Aleph, and we're about to start with Makom Shenagu Lamod, which you'll see after the Siman, right before the Siman, that's on line 3, quotes the Mishnah, and the Mishnah differentiates between a Makom Shenagu Lamod Begasa, which means with a large measure, as opposed to a makom shenagu bedaka, with a small measure. And the Mishnah had established that the custom of any location, of any medina, determines whether the seller should measure the merchandise with a small measure or with a large measure. And, for example, a small measure would have the receptacle capacity for a kav, a large measure for this purpose would contain a saw, which is the equivalent of 6 kavim, and the principle here in the Mishnah is makom shenagu. Now, the Gemara is about to present a long series of brisos, and this group of brisos is divided up into two parts. The first part, which we're going to study now, the first 3 out of the 11 brisos, are focused on the pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Chaf Hei, Lo Yilcha Bechischa Evan va Evan Gdola Uktana lo yilcha beveischa Efa vi Efa Gdola Ukana Evan Shlema va Tzedek Yelach Yelach Efa Shlema va Tzedek Yelach. And those different brisos, the 11 brisos, are indicated by this simon, which starts with Ein Ma'ayin, and that's actually the second brisa, so it's a little bit out of order here, and then V'Ein Gochim, etc., etc. So let's begin with Ein Gochim. And the subject here of this first of the 3 brisas that are analyzing this pasuk that we mentioned is the issue of Gochim. Gochim means that in a certain minog, in a certain medina, the custom was that when the seller measures out something, it is gochim. I mean, it heaps up above the pan. It's not flattened out, it's not leveled. And the brisa says, Minayin, how do we know that ein mochkin b'makom shegodshim? Mochakim is the word to level it out, and that works in favor of the seller. B'makom shegodshim, but the minig is that you heap it up, which works in favor of the buyer because he gets more, and therefore the seller has no right, according to halacha, to substitute gochim for mochakim and do mochakim at the expense of the loss of the buyer. V'en gochim b'mokom shemochakim. But here's something interesting. If, let's say, the mocher decides that despite the minhag mochakim, which allows him to get away with mochakim, with level, he wants to heap it all in, then since the minhag ha-mokom is mochakin, that's exactly what he has to do, and gochim is not even an option. And we're going to see that the reason for this is based on the following logic. First, but before we give the logic, let's just see where we see it in the pasuk, and then we'll try to present the cogency of the logic here. And that is Talmud Lomar. The pasuk says, Eifa Shlema. Now, when you read the pasuk, and it says Eifa Shleima Vatzedek, it seems that there's a certain element here of redundancy. Because once it says Shleima, that already teaches me that you need not just an accurate measure, but also a perfect. Shleima means Shleimus Melashon, perfection. And that means that you have to measure it in the way that there's no possibility of cheating over here. Now, as soon as one measures it and deviates from the local minog, then even if he's doing it honestly, as we'll see in a second, he's doing it with honesty, nevertheless, there's a possibility that others will see it, and they'll misinterpret and come to the conclusion that this is the custom. So take, for example, in the case where the minig is to do heaping, and he instead does leveling the smoker, but he's willing to make up the difference out of pocket. So he's doing this in all honesty, but the spectator gathers the wrong information and comes to the wrong conclusion that the minig ha-medina is mochakin, is to level it out. Now, what's going to happen is, when he, that bystander, that innocent spectator, comes to that mistake conclusion, and now he wants to buy from the seller, then the seller might give him a level measure, charge him the full price, and he, the seller, having seen in the past that that's what happens, thinks that that's the minig ha-medina. And he gets stuck with a level measure for the same price that he deserves, normally a heaping measure. Or you could take it in the other sense. Let's say, for example, if the mocher gives a heaping measure, where the custom is mochakin, is to level it flat, and now there's somebody coming through the city, he doesn't know what the minig ha-medina is, he thinks that the minig ha-medina is to heap it. Now let's say he happens to be traveling through the city because he's a seller, trying to make a profit in the city, he's going to charge the same amount of price to his local buyers, and he's defrauding them because he thinks that the minig ha-medina is to do this gochum, and he's going to be paid for what is much more than he really has to sell. In other words, he's giving a larger measure when he can sell it as mochakin, because the minig ha-medina is mochakin. So the fact that in the previous case, the first seller wanted to be very magnanimous about it, and despite the minig of mochakin, he wanted to be gochim, that's very nice, but it could cause a loss to someone who's traveling through this city and he wants to sell, and he thinks the minig is mochakin, he thinks that the minig is gochim, and that's what he's going to do for his buyers, and then he's going to be cheated as a seller, because in fact the minig is mochakin. And that's exactly what the Brisa wants to emphasize here. Minayin she'im omar hareini mochek b'mokom she'gochim. I'm going to flatten it out, even though the minig ha-mokom is gochim, to heap it up. And the lifkos lo min adam, I'll charge him a lower price. So the difference between mochin and gochim will be reflected in the depreciation of the price. Or alternatively, hareini godesh b'mokom she'mochakin, I'm going to heap it all on top, even, and be very magnanimous. And it might reflect itself in a higher price, lahosif al damim, but so what? If the minig is leveling, why can't I heap it up? And the answer is no, ein shomin lo. We're not going to allow him to do it in either case. Talmud lomar, eifa shleima vatzedek yelach. The pasuk says that it's got to be an eifa, and not only shleima, but it's got to be vatzedek, which means just, and now there's an extra word, vatzedek. And that's even stronger than, that's adding another level onto the Shleima. requiring that he follow the minhag hamakom and don't be an iver chacham in this direction or that direction, because that could lead ultimately to somebody else being defrauded. And all this is based on the fact that the spectator might see this and mistakenly come to the conclusion about what that minig is, and that's going to cause a loss either to the buyer or to the seller in the various cases that we discussed. That's the first price. The second price, the Tanur Rabbanon, which is written here first in the Simonim, minayin she'ein ma'ainim v'makom shmachriim. Ma'ainim, we said, was when the two sides of the scale are perfectly balanced, and machriim means achra, in which the Mocher adds a tefach, meaning, what does it mean by tefach? It means that he waits until the scales are such that the weights on the one side go higher than the merchandise, which goes down, and tefach lower on the other side. And all this is to guarantee that the buyer will receive more for his money than what he would normally receive if the scales were level. So the Bryce establishes that we're going to derive from a pasuk that the seller is not allowed to balance the scales if the minhag hamakom is to be machria, to tilt it in such a way that the lokech will receive more for his buck, because again, it, after the tilting, he has the merchandise that's weighing down the scales. Or in the reverse case, ein machriyim b'makom shema'ainim, and we're not even going to allow the seller in a place where the minig is to level it and balance it, to allow for the hachra, tilting it in favor of the lokeach. And again, all this is based on the logic that we presented earlier, that the bystander will come to the mistaken conclusion about the minig, what the minig amakum is, and therefore it's going to cause a loss. Talmud Lomar, where do we derive this from? Even Shlema. Again, as the pasuk indicated, we saw it before, Evan Shlema means that it's a perfect weight. Perfect here means to live up to the requirements precisely of the minhag hamakom minayin. How do we know Shem Omar? Even if the seller will declare, Hareini ma'ayin b'makosh machriyim, I will level it out without tilting it, but livchol slom and adom, I'll charge him less. So the buyer, the lokech, will get exactly what he deserves for his money, just in a different sort of way. Even that is objectionable. V'areini machriya b'mokum shma'aynim ula hosif lo al adamim. Or alternatively, I will balance the scales, even though the minig is to tilt the scales and be machriya tefach. But the mocher says, in all honesty, I'll have to add something to the price because I'm not tilting, so he's not getting what he's getting. He's tilting it, so he's getting more than what he deserves, because the minhag here is to balance the scales. Ein shomin lo, and that's Evan Shlema Vat Sedek, the extra word Sedek. Now, at this particular point, the Gemara goes into a short, limited agadita on this pasuk. Now, keep in mind, the pasuk starts by saying, "Lo yilcha biveisecha," and Rabbi Yehuda Misura has a drush on this. He says, "Lo yilcha biveisecha," which literally means that you should not have in your house an imperfect scale, or a large one and a small one. We'll see what that means. But he stops the pasuk prematurely, and he says, forget about the hemshech, but just isolate lo yilcha b'veisecha, which you can translate as you won't have anything in your house. Your house will be empty, the cupboards will be empty. Matam and why? Mishum eifa ve'eifa, because you kept, and this is the hemshech of the pasuk, two different measures. You had a large one, and you had a small one, which means that you're going to use whichever measure is beneficial for you and cheat the other guy. And as a result, the punishment for that is lo yilcha beisecha, you will end up with nothing in your house. That's going to be, as we see, mida keneged mida, measure for measure, and pardon the pun on the word measure. Now, what does it mean he keeps a measure and a measure, a large measure and a small measure? And the answer is that when he's buying merchandise, he's going to use the large measure so that as a buyer he gets more. When he sells merchandise, he's going to use the small measure. All this is in the Rashbam. And Hashem meets out punishment, mida keneged mida, and since he's amassing his money by frauding someone, therefore he's going to suffer poverty. He thinks he's gaining money, but he's really losing money. Matam. And the Pasuk says, Mishum Evan for Evan, because you had a large one and a small one. Aval. Now here's the good news. Evan Shlem Vatzedek, if you have a perfect and a just weight, then Yilcha. Again, he's cutting the Pasuk prematurely. And he's saying that the Yilcha should not be seen in the broader context, but as an indication of the reward that Hashem will reward him. Yilcha means you'll have plenty in your house, meaning plenty of money in your house. And that's because you fulfilled this requirement of Evan Shlema Vatzedek, Efa Shlema Vatzedek. Now, what else did we do? Do we want to mention here? Okay, so we mentioned that the large measure and the small measure, or the large weight and the small weight, he means that he's going to use the larger one when he buys, so he'll get a greater, more merchandise, more of a quantity of merchandise for his buck, and he's going to take out his small measure, or weight, when he becomes a seller, and therefore he gives away, he sells less for the same buck. So he sets it up in such a way that he'll decide which one of these two measures he's going to use in the right time. Now we're up to the third brice, the Tan Rabbanan, and again, the Pasuk is going to sort of be cut up. Yelcha. I mean, the Pasuk says that you have to have a perfect weight, a just weight. Melamed shemamidim agardamin lemidos. Now, these agardamin are government employees, government officials or officers, and they are meant to oversee and supervise weights to make sure that no one's cheating anyone in the market. And this requirement regarding weights and measures of gardamin, of appointing these gardamin that go around inspecting, you know, they all of a sudden they make a surprise call and they find you, you know, in your business measuring out and they check the weights and they're not accurate, is derived from the pasuk Yelecha. And Lecha here seems to be addressing Bezdin to make sure that Bezdin is in charge of this whole thing. But V'ein ma'amidim agardim in l'sha'arim. Now, as far as price gouging is concerned, like, for example, there are people who will all of a sudden charge an enormous amount. Now, normally, nobody's going to buy from them because there are other sellers selling the same merchandise at a cheaper price. But what he does is he waits for the right season. You know, when the blueberries and the strawberries are out of season, he's got them frozen in his back. All of a sudden, he jacks up the price. And there are other ways of price gouging. Now, should we be required to set up these supervisors to go around and oversee what's going on in the market to make sure that there's no one overcharging and stuff like that, gouging the prices? And for that, we don't have to do it. And the reason for that is that in general, the free market system and competition will have its own built-in, its own built-in checks and balances to make sure that this kind of price gouging won't go on. So it's more of a rare phenomenon. We don't have to go out of our way to appoint and hire special supervisors and superintendents to make sure that this doesn't go on. Now the Gemara tells a little story here, and not such a happy one. The Beinasiya. In the house of the Nasi, meaning in the Gullus, there's always a Reish Galusa, and in his house, he actually Okimu Agardamin Bein Lamidos Bein Lasharim. He decided that we, representing the government, are going to hire these overseers, these officers, like you have here on the, you know, the buses and the trains, they come to see if you paid, where's your ticket? And he did that for both midos, to double check the measures, which we derive from a pasuk Yilcha, and for Sha'arim, also for price gouging. Amalei Shmuel Akarna, Shmuel said to Karna, this is one of the Amoraim, and he says to him, Poke Tani Lahu, I want you to go out and publicize this following statement. And here's the statement. Ma'amidim agadim l'midos. We do appoint these officers to oversee midos, make sure the measurements are perfect, but ein ma'amidim agadim l'sharim. We don't appoint these superintendents to oversee price gouging. But Nafik Darish Lahu kind of went out, and instead of complying with the mandate of Shmuel, he's a chutzpahdik, he decides, well, that's not the halacha, but rather, I'm going to profess and proclaim them amidim agaradim in bein lamidos u bein lasharim, which is something that we saw was a shita, and that was instituted by the Beis Hanasiya, the Beis Nasiya. Amalei, when Kana came back, and Shmuel was aware of what happened, he was very upset with him, as you can imagine. This was a chutzpah of a student who flagrantly violated the will of his Rebbe. Mashmecha, what's your name? Karna. Now, Karna means a horn. And now Shmuel curses him. He says, Tepakle Karna Biene. A literally means that out of your eye should grow this thing that'll blind you, this horn. And Nafkale Karna Biene. And Shmuel's curse came to pass. Now, there's a long discussion here in the Rashbam, because it would seem elsewhere that Karna was punished for an entirely different Avera. The Gemara there in Shabbos Kufches has a whole other story. If we get a chance, we'll see it about what the Avera of Karna is and why they cursed him. Anyway, the Rashbam says the combination of what we see here and what we see there, and all together, again, it's not exactly clear whether he actually had a horn that came out. If you take a look here, the Masoros HaShas, he quotes the Aruch, that it was some sort of a fleshy growth that grew on his eye. In any event, V'iyu Kiman Sofar, what about Karna? What was he basing himself on? I'm not exactly sure why the Gemara didn't quote the Beis Nasiya here, but instead the Gemara says, Ki hodi omar Rami bar Chomam Rabbi Yitzchak, Ma'amidin agardimin bein lamidos bein l'sha'arim mipnei haramoim. That there is enough of these scandalous ramoim out there who are, as the Rashbam says, holding on to certain goods until all his competitors sold all their goods, and therefore he has a rare case and he's going to jack up the price, that this kind of a price gouging was let's say shchiach enough in order to require that there be these superintendents overseeing them. Tana Rabbanan. Now we get to the fourth price. So the fourth, fifth, and sixth prices are going to address the question of how the mocher should weigh out the merchandise. Tana Rabbanan mevakesh mimenu litra. In this case, the lokech asked for a litra, which is a certain weight. Shokelo litra. If he asked for a chatzi litra, then he weighs out shokelo chatzi litra. If he asks for a reveal litra, then he weighs out a reveal litra. Now, my kamashma, the Gemara says, this Bryce is not teaching me anything. Obviously, mitakninon maskele ad hachi. No, I'm sorry, that's the Gemara's answer. So, what the Gemara's question is, my kamashmalon, the Bryce is not teaching me anything. He's measuring out exactly what the buyer ordered, filling his order exactly as it was. So the Gemara answers, the misakninon maskele ad hachi. Which means that we take a look at these mishkolos, and we notice that there's a definite order, a different sequence. There's a litra, there's a chatzi litra, and then there's a reveal litra. So what we're doing is, we're always dividing it by half. In other words, all the weights have to be in divisions of half. The classical common weight is going to be a litra, and then you do it by halves. And the reason for that is because if it if it gets too specific, the litra, and it's not the scale, and it's not too classic, then within those fine differences, it's very easy that the lokech will be cheated. So basically, what we're saying is that if, let's say, he wants to set up a mishkol that will weigh an eighth of a litra, that would be okay, because that's half of a quarter of a litra. But let's say he'd want to make it into, let's say, 1/7 of a litra, that already is bordering on such a minute difference that you could end up in a way that you deceive the buyer. Another way of learning is that maybe what the Bryce is indicating, and this is the way the Rashbam seems to take it, because what I present is more Rabbeinu Chananel quoted by the Rashbam, but the Rashbam himself seems to assume that this takana reflected in the Bryce was that there should be no weight that goes down smaller than a quarter litra. Not the case that I said, which is okay, an eighth of a litra, that's okay for the Rabbeinu Chananel, but not for the Rashbam. Because once you get so small, it's a quarter of a litra, if it's smaller, excuse me, than a quarter of a litra, then again, the differences here are so subtle that if the seller wants to cheat the buyer, it's much easier for him to do so in such a small measure. So the quarter litra becomes the bottom weight. Now, you can ask the following question: well, what happens when Reuven comes into Shimon's geshäft and he says to him, well, I just need an eighth of a litra. So what does he do? In that case, the Rashbam says the seller will use coins. The weights of coins were very well known. Let's say it was a silver coin, and they knew which one would weigh an eighth of a litra. And that's what they would put on the scale. Okay, next price. Tan Rabbanan. Hayamavakesh mimenu shlosha reveal litra. Now keep in mind, we had a scale of a litra, and then we had a scale of a half a litra. This guy wants 3/4 of a litra. So there are a couple of options here. The first of which is going to be prohibited, going to be rejected. And that is lo yomar lo. The buyer who's putting in an order for 3/4 of a litra does not have the right to say shkoli shlosha rive litra achas achas, meaning take a quarter of a liter, another quarter of a liter, another quarter of a liter, and weigh them separately. Now, again, the problem is that once we've established that there's no such thing as a weight, as a measuring weight that has 3/4 of a liter, that was excluded in the previous price. So what are we going to do to weigh 3/4 of a litra? Can we say, well, you know what? Let's do it piecemeal. And that's not going to be acceptable, because in such a case, the merchant is going to take a loss, because if, let's say, he's machria a tefach on each weighing, then you multiply it by 3, he's taking a loss. Now, what about allowing the mocher to first put in a half a litra and then put in a quarter litra, because a half and a quarter becomes 3/4? And that too is not permissible. Why is that? So the Rambam in Hilchos Geneva Perek Ches says that the reason why that cannot be acceptable as an option is because the quarter of the litra might fall off the scale, and as a result, the buyer is going to end up with only half a litra. In other words, in this whole, you know, mixture of different weights, you know, you put the different stones on, you know, one might fall off, and it's very easy for the merchant to cheat the buyer. So what would be the way in which we do this? Ella says the Bryce is shokil litra umeniach reveal litra im habasar. We're going to take the litra scale, a full litra, and we've got now the weight of a full litro's worth of meat on one pan of the scale, and on the other pan we'll put the meat which is now going to, let's say he's going to put 3/4 of a litre of meat, because that's exactly what the buyer ordered. And in order to balance the scale, he adds 1/4 litre weight to the meat side. And in this case, we're not cheating anybody. We're not cheating the seller, because he's only going to be machria tefach on one act of weighing. So we have it all in one shkila. On the other hand, we're not cheating the buyer, because there are no two weights on each pan of the scale, on each side of the scale. Now, as we said before, we don't want to have multiple weighings, okay? Because that would cause a loss to the mocher that we discussed. So what we're gaining here in the method that the Braisa advocates is that there'll be only one act of shkila, one way. Now, the Rashbam also adds something else, that the degree of the hachra, you remember we said we have to eat machria tefach, even though it's always the same, there's no mathematical difference as to whether the shkila, whether the measurement was tilted once for a larger amount or 3 times for a smaller amount. Because again, the weight always remains the same, and therefore the amount that the seller will lose through these hachros always remain the same. But what happens is that we're imposing upon the mocher to do this hachra and be machria the scales over and over and over again. That's a real pain. And in order to avoid any long process, he may be machria more than a tefach. So again, we want to avoid these numerous weighings. Now, again, we said before, back on Daf Peches, that there are different minhagim, a minhag medina, as to whether or not you should be machria tefach. And the Rashbam points out that the issue that's being faced here by the Braisa in the case of 3/4 of a litra is specific to a location where this advocacy of the Braisa, where he puts a full litra of weight on one side of the scale, is acceptable, says the Rashbam, if the minig is not to be machria tefach. Because if the minig is to be machria tefach, he's going to have to be machria tefach on a full litra of weight, and that will certainly cause an undue, unjustified loss to the seller. And therefore, says the Rashbam, if the minig amokom is to be machria tefach, then what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to allow, in this case, the shkila of 3/4 of a litra. Now, we don't have such a weight, right? We've already set up special weights, and we went from a litra down to 1/2 litra. We don't have 3/4 of a litra. And in general, we don't want to allow such a thing. But for the sake of a makom where the, on the one hand, the minig hamokum is to be machria tefach, and on the other hand, the lokeach is ordering 3/4 of a litra, we're going to have to permit the mocher putting a 3/4 litra weight on one pan. Now again, I don't know what that means exactly, because is there such a weight that exists? And if he's going to add two different stones, for example, or weights, then according to the Rambam at least, that's a real problem. Fine. Now, we're back to the Braisa. Tana Rabbanan, Hayu Mevakish Menu Eser Litrin. So at this point, the buyer is ordering 10 litrim. Lo yomar lo. He doesn't have a right to say to the seller, shkoli achas achas vehachria, I want you to weigh for me 1 liter at a time, so there'll be 10 weights. Because again, if they're machria, that's going to cause an undue loss and tircha on the seller. Ela shokel o kulam vasachas. Rather, the mocha has a right to say, we're going to weigh all 10 litrim at once. V'nosen hachrea echad l'kulam. And therefore, he only has to tilt the scale a tefach one time for that one weight. Because again, it would be unfair to require of the mocher to do 10 different smaller weighings, because it's a real tircha to have to weigh meticulously time after time after time, and therefore they're going to allow him to demand that the shkila be 1 shkila for all 10 litrim. Tana Rabbanan, in the next brisa, says, Nefesh ma'aznayim tluya ba'avir gimel tfachim. Now, we need here a little background to get a picture, a vision of what the maznayim, what the scales look like. And there are different parts. There's a nefesh, there's a kana, and there's the misna. So let's just quickly go through this. The kana is the bar that goes from one side to the other. Like if you had an X, so, well, let's call it a T. So if you have a T, then the vertical part of the T is the part that goes up and down. That's called the kana. Let's go over this one more time. The parts of the scale that we're going to focus on are the kana, the misna, and the nefesh. Now there's the vertical bar that goes up and down in this T, and that's either on the ground or it might be suspended from the roof, from the ceiling. That doesn't seem to have a name right now. There's the horizontal bar, that's the part of the T that goes from left to right in the middle. That's called the kana. And then the kana will be attached to this vertical bar that goes up and down at a point which is called the nefesh. That nefesh is in English called a fulcrum. And that basically attaches to the vertical bar that goes up and down so that the scale could pivot back and forth when it's weighed down in one direction or the other. And then you have what's called the kapos, which are the pans on both sides, and they are suspended by chains, which are called the misna. And the Bryce is going to tell us exactly what the dimensions are, or the sizes, the specifications of each part. He says the nefesh maznayim is tluya ba'avir gimel tfachim. So it must be suspended in the air at least 3 tfachim from the ceiling. And the reason for that is because if you have a large scale that's suspended from the ceiling, unless the fulcrum is at least 3 tfachim from the ceiling, then one end of the beam, when it's weighed down, the other end, when it tilts up, would hit the ceiling. So you've got to give yourself a little space, and that's the 3 tfachim of avir. Ugavo min aretz. On the other hand, you know, you have to make sure that the pans don't hit the ground. So the pans have to be therefore lifted from the ground at least a minimum of 3 tfachim. V'kanu misna shalosh shneimasar tfachim. And we said that the kana was that horizontal bar in the middle of the T that goes from left to right. That's going to be 4 tfachim. And then each of the 2 misnas, which are the, you know, these are the strings that attach from the kana to the kapos, to the pans, they each have to be 4 tfachim, so 4 times 3 is 12. Okay, so just to summarize, the beam that goes across has to be 4 tfachim, each of the chains has to be 4 tfachim, total of 12 tfachim, and the Gemara is going to give us later on different measurements that apply for weighing heavy objects. Fine. Then the Braisa continues and tells us, Vishel Tzamarim, Vishel Zagogim, In other words, we're going down to less heavy items that are being measured here. Let's say wool or glass is then, there's not going to be so much of a radical movement up and down there. Tluya b'avish netvachim, you can reduce the space suspended from the air to from 3 tefachim to 2 tefachim, gvor minor it's 2 tefachim instead of 3 tefachim, 2 tefachim in terms of its raised from the ground. Vekana umisna shalot test tefachim, and the beam and the strings of the scale would now 3 tefachim times 3 is going to be a total of 9 tefachim. And again, this is because we're not talking about very large and heavy items. The merchandise is relatively lighter. The scale doesn't have to be so large. And there won't be such a discrepancy between the weight and the pants. And therefore, the distance of two tefachim from the scale itself to the ceiling or from the scale to the ground is sufficient. In other words, there won't be such a wild radical swing which can cause hitting the top or hitting the bottom. Then we go down to something that's even lighter, v'shel chenvoni v'shel balabayis tluya b'avir tefach u'gvo minoritz tefach. And here in this case, the amount that a seller is required to tilt the scale is 1 tefach, and that's reflected in these dimensions that he has to guarantee himself a tefach for the tilting so that it doesn't hit the ceiling or the ground. Vikanu misnishalat shisha tefachim. So we're talking about the chains and this beam that goes from left to right. That's going to be a total of 6 tefachim. And finally, we have the case of shel turtani. Now, what's a turtani? A turtani is a person who works with metals. He's a metalsmith. And he deals with very small and expensive metals. And therefore, he needs a small scale. And the small scale for like gold and silver will have the dimensions of etzbos. Because we're no longer talking about a full tefach, which is the equivalent of 6 etzbos. We're talking about a tluya b'avir sholosh etzbos, gvor minoritz sholosh etzbos, that's half a tefach. And the pans are raised above the ground 3 etzbos. And because he's dealing with precious metals, he doesn't have to overbalance, you know, tip over the scale by a full tefach, because that would be too much of a hefsed for the mocher in such expensive precious metals. But therefore, he only has to be machria a small degree, and in that case, it's not necessary to add that extra space between the scales and the ceiling, or the scales and the ground. Now, the Braisa, in giving us the sizes of that very, very first scale on the list, which was Gimel Tfachim, Shnebasar Tfachim, what is that referring to? Alahach Kamaisa Demai. What kind of a person usually would measure things with that great size? Here on the Gemara in Peites on the Beis, on Rav Papa says, Degrume. Now, we have to understand what these degrume are. In the Hebrew translations, he says, a kind of tsarfe barzel. And in the English, he calls it smelters. And basically what happens is, these kind of smelters or coppersmiths, they weigh massive chunks of metal, the Rashbam says. And therefore they need the largest scales of them all. The Gemara goes on to say, Omer av mani bar potish, kider sha'omru le'inyin isurim, kach omru le'inyin tum osam. Meaning that there's an afkamina here by defining what measures are acceptable, in Hilchas Kabbalah's Tumah, because a kli is makabel Tumah, and a kli has to be functional. And if these scales are not fit, they're eino ru'uyim, they're not functional, they become like a kli shavur, which is not makabel Tumah, because pakashem kli. This would have nafkaminus also in Hilchas Mukta, whether or not it'd be Mukta on Shabbos. It could be that scales in general might be a kli shemalachta l'isur, but I don't know if it has a din of mukta unless it's pakashem kli. Maika mashmalon tnina. The Gemara says, what is Rav Mani coming to be mechadish here? We have this din in a mishnah in Kelim in Perek Chof Tes. And there it says, chut maznayim shel chenvonim shel balabatim tefach. And now that means that the rope on the scale has to be a tefach. And that's exactly based on the fact that it's got to be Roy Lishkalbo. And that's what the Braisa explains. So if we see that it's straightforward in the Mishnah in Kalim, that this chut, now he says here a chut, the chut is a rope. And this rope is hanging from the ceiling to attach itself to that to the scale, when the scale is hanging from the ceiling. And that has to be a tefach, as we said before. And if it's less than a tefach, then it's not roi, and therefore it's no longer makabel tumah. So we can derive all the conclusions of Mani from the Mishnah. And the Gemara answers, Kana umisna shala itzrichle. We need the chiddush for the kana that goes back and forth, left to right, umisna, which are the chains that attach the pans to the scale, delotnan, which are not mentioned in the Mishnah. So basically, the chiddush of Rav Mani is going to be that if the kana or the misna is not the required length, then once again pakashem kli, because it cannot be used as a scale. Now Tosfos has a discussion here about why we wouldn't derive that conclusion logically from the chut, because once we had the mission about the chut, l'chorah it should apply to every single part of the scale. The answer seems to be that what Rav Mani is pointing out, that even though the kana and the misna in and of themselves, if you isolate them from the scale, they have a function. And therefore, if there was an agiyah of tumah on those particular parts, isolated, those particular parts would be makabel tumah, but yet the scale itself as an entity would not be makabel tumah, because the entity itself is non-functional, doesn't have a shem kli. In the case of the chevel, then you're talking more about what's called a yad l'kli. And if the yad is a yad, a handle for a kli, and that kli is not a kli, then clearly the yad itself has no shem kli unto itself. But that's not true for the case of Misna, the case of Kone. Tana Rabbanan ein osin mishkolos lo shel batz velo shel gusteron velo shel avar velo shel shar mini matochos. In other words, when we get to metals, that's not acceptable for weights, because these kinds of metals often corrode, and they get smaller over the course of time, so they cannot be relied upon for an accurate measurement. So therefore we forbid using weights made of lead, tin, alloys, and other metals that corrode. Rabbeinu Tam has a slightly different understanding here in Tosfos, Dibur Maskav Lo. And that is the reason why these metals are excluded, is because of the shuman, the oily deposits that adhere to the metals and they begin to congeal, the krisha, and it's very difficult to wipe them off and keep these metals clean. And again, then the weights become heavier than they really are. And the mocher is the one who's going to suffer in such a case. He'll be defrauded. Tana Rabbanan. Oh, so what do we use? What substance do we use for? Is kosher for a measurement? Aval osu shal tsunma, which is a stone, and shal tzchuchis, or a glass. So we had tsunma earlier in Bava Basra when we spoke about whether shtichas peros is itself a chazak in the case of tsunma, where you can't plant anything in a stone. Tana Rabbanan, we have a brice that says ein osin hamachak dlas. Right, sometimes the minhag hamakom was to level it off shava b'shava and remove the heap, and there was a special kli called a machak that was used to make that it shouldn't be made of a dlas, of a gourd, mipnei shu kal v'lo shel mateches mipnei shu machbid. In other words, we don't want something that is either too light or too heavy. And the reason for this is that if it's light, then it really doesn't penetrate into the heap. And even after the leveling, the Rashbam says that nevertheless the remaining measure is still beyond its capacity. So in this case, the mocher will lose. Or if it's a heavy level and it penetrates too deeply in the heap, then it could be that the seller will lose because there'll be an unfair displacement of the merchandise. Avaloseu shall zayis vishal egos vishal eshkaroa shall shikma. But rather it should be made of some sort of a wood. The Bryce offers three kinds of wood, which are not too heavy or too light. It's olive wood, it's walnut wood, it's sycamore wood. We've discussed sycamore earlier in the Masechta. Tanur Rabbanan ein osin es hamachak tzido echod av tzido echod kotzer. So again, we're talking about this machak that levels out the merchandise on the scales, and it shouldn't be made with a way in which one side is narrow and the other side is wide. And once again, if it's narrow, then it penetrates into the heap more deeply than a wide one. And now, if the two ends of this machak are different, one is more narrow and the one is wide, then we're going to allow the mocher, if he's a cheat, if he's a fraud, that when he buys something, he's going to use the wide end for himself, and he'll get an overfilled measure, he'll get the gadish. And when he sells something, and he doesn't want the buyer to have the overfill, he's going to use the narrow end. So therefore, the two ends of the level have to be equal, says the Rashbam. They have to be uniform in their width. Then the Braisa says, Lo yimchok bevas achas, he shouldn't take one sweeping action and level out the entire measure of merchandise. Sham mochek bevas achas, rala mocher v'yofel lokeach. If he does it all at once, then the mocher, the seller, is going to suffer an undue financial loss, because in the case of the quick sweep, then it's not going to level out the measure effectively, and there'll be still something left to the heap. But on the other hand, the Braisa says, "V'lo yimchok mat maat." If he does this leveling too slowly, meaning in small increments, then gal elokeach liyofel amocher. Then it's the buyer who's going to take a loss, because this kind of a leveling, small sections of the merchandise at a time, is going to penetrate into the heap deeply, and it's going to displace more of the merchandise. The buyer ends up with less of the merchandise, and he's being cheated. So therefore, what we should do is level the measure with a slow sweep, or maybe two sweeps, says the Rashbam, if he covers half of the measure. And al kulan omer Rabbi Yochanan, regarding all these practices, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had the statement of Oy li im Omer, Oy li im lo Omer. Should I be publicizing these laws? Because if I say them out loud, then in doing so, I'm implying what the swindlers could do. You know, I'm sort of teaching them, and that's Oy li im Omer. On the other hand, Oily im lo omer. So oily im lo im omer, because Shemi Yilmadu Amar Moim, you know, really teaching these Ramoim how to cheat. But im lo omer, if I don't say it, then Shemi Yomra Ramoim ain't Talmidi Chachomim Bekiim B'maisi Adenu. That the Talmidei Chachomim are not aware, they're not up on what our illegal activities are all about. In other words, how we cheat them. So they're going to continue with their deceitful cheating, and they think the Chachomim are not even aware of it. Iboilahu, so at the end of the day, what did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai do? Omra o lo omra? Did he publicize this or did he not? Omer Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Omra. He decided, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, at the end of the day, to publicize this. Umehai Kra Omra. And he based his conclusion on the following pasuk. Ki Yisharim Darchei Hashem. This is a pasuk in Hosea Hanavi. V'tzadikim Yelchubam Uposhim Yikashelubam. Which basically means that, you know, whatever the Torah says, the tzaddikim will know how to use it for perfection, and the rishoyim will know how to pervert it and use it for their corruption and to achieve their illegal goals. So we have to do what we have to do, and that's it. In other words, we have to publicize the laws of the weights and the measures. We have to tell the tzaddikim exactly how they can avoid any situation where they might cheat someone else. And even though we're taking that risk, that as a result of teaching, the Rishoyim and the swindlers, these Ramoyim, will learn how to cheat others. But but in the balancing act, it's more important that we teach the tzaddikim. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, lo sasu avol b'mishpat b'mida b'mishkal u'b'mesora. U'b'mesura, I should pronounce it. So what this means is, and it's all a pasuk in Vayikra and Yud Perek Yud Tes, is number one, don't do any wrong in judgment, in midah. In other words, that's a measurement of length. And the Brisa says, zu medidas karka, that karka has to be measured out if you're selling karka. And what that means is, lo yimod li echad b'yemos hachama uli echad b'yemos hagshamim. What happens here is that during the summer days, as opposed to the winter days, the summer days when it's sunny out. So if you take a rope, again, the rope was always a standard rope, then during the summer months when it's dry, the rope will not stretch that much. But in the dampness of the Yemos HaGshamim, it extends, it stretches. So if this surveyor, again, I'm not sure if he's making a profit on the deal, he's just being paid to survey. But let's say he is doing a chalukas hashutfim or chalukas yorshim. He has to make sure that when he measures on behalf of this shutuf in one period of time, he does it for the other shutuf in the same season, because otherwise he's not going to apportion the land equally to both partners or both heirs. And again, let's assume that this surveyor is not gaining anything personally from any sort of fraudulent practice. He's not stealing, but nevertheless, if he causes one of the parties to get cheated, then he himself is guilty of causing such a loss to someone else. And that's what the Torah is addressing over here. Now the Torah says, Lo sasu avol b'mishpat b'mida, and then it says, b'mishkal. And the Bryce interprets, b'mishkal shelo yatmin mishkalosav b'melach. He should not, you know, store his measuring tools, his scales, in salt, because salt has a very powerful impact on any substance, and it's going to cause a change in the weight of the substance. According to Rashbam, it makes it heavier. According to Tosfos, it makes it lighter. But in any event, kuliyamalo pligi,
that we have to warn the seller that he shouldn't cheat his customer by using weights that are very hard to be, it's very hard to guarantee that they're accurate. And finally, the last word in this pasuk is bamasura, which literally means a liquid measure. And what that's referring to is shelo yartiach. You know, sometimes when you measure liquids, you know, you get this kind of kasefet on top. I'll tell you how he translates this in Hebrew and then in English. In Hebrew, he calls it a ketzef, which is even a modern word in Hebrew. And the Rashbam calls it ashkuma belaz, which he translates into English as a froth. It makes it look larger than it really is. The froth is not worth anything. So if you're measuring something for your buyer, and you pour it with force, bechozek, the Rashbam says, then what happens is that the liquid becomes frothy, and now the customer is defrauded because he thinks that this froth is really merchandise, but it's not. And here, it's the mocher who's violating this prohibition, because by causing this froth to form, he is cheating the buyer. In other words, as soon as this froth is formed, he says, oh, I finished measuring it out. He gives over the merchandise to the buyer, but he actually cheats him, and that's gezel. And you can see that in Tosfos here. Kal vachomer, the Gemara says that if this applies to a mesorah, a mesura, I should say again, she echad mishloshim v'shisha belug, and yet ikpidol of Torah is kal v'chomer lehin v'chatzi hin u'shloshim hin u'revius hin. In other words, how much more so is the Torah going to demand that we be careful and avoid forming this ketzef in the cases of larger amounts? Here we're talking about a mesura, which we said is a measure of liquid. It's a measure of liquid which the Bryce identifies as 1/36 of a log. How much more so in the case of a hin, or a chatzi hin, or even a third or a fourth of a hin? And the Bryce goes on to say, log v'chatzi log u'revius, v'tomen v'chatzi tomen, v'uchla. Again, these are all liquid measurements that are so much larger than a mesura. And if you take a look at the case of a mesura, the Rashbam points out that the difference if the mocher forms this froth by pouring the liquid so quickly is only 1/100 of a lug. Toman is 1/8 of a lug, and an uchla is 1/20 of a lug, but it still is larger than 1/36 of a lug, and therefore we require being very careful. All right, we'll finish it up. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Merav. Osu liyodim sheyashe midu chasera o yesera b'toch beso. A person's not allowed to hold on to measurements that are not precise, either they're chasera, they're undersized, yesera, they're oversized, v'afilu hi ovit shel meimei raglayim, something which you would never dream of using as a measuring. You're using it for, as an ovit shel meimei raglayim, to urinate in. But nevertheless, it could be that if he leaves it around, and one day he might clean it out and use it for measuring, so therefore it becomes dangerous. Om Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Lo Amorin Ela Bi Asra De Lo Chasimi. Right, we said before that they appointed government sarim to make sure that you had to get a seal of approval affixed to the measurement before you used it to sell something. If Bavol Bi Asra De Chasimi, in such a place where they sealed, in a, you know, you have the Tudat Hechsher that's attached to the measuring thing, then no one would allow the mocher to use something without the Tudas Hechsher. So why should we be worried about using something that's not appropriate, and it's either oversized or undersized? Ilo chazi chasim, lo shakil. He's not going to agree to take his merchandise unless he sees that there's this stamp of approval, this seal that's affixed to the kli. And also, we spoke about the spot checks that come around to make sure that everything is okay and the measurements are accurate. And if there are spot checks, then the mocher will not use something that wouldn't pass the check because he might lose his license. It's like the heter of Moshe Feinstein for Stam Cholov in America. If they get caught mixing in non-kosher milk, they'll lose their license. Now, Mahanda say Leslie Boss, since there are spot checks, then we don't have to be concerned, even if it's a place where they don't affix a heksha to it. But the Gemara says, Velohi, we don't accept this. We're going to be more machmir, and the Gemara is going to bring a briar from a brisa to that effect. Zimnin de mikre ben ashmoshos. It might turn out that Erev Shabbos, the way the Rashbam explains it, ben ashmoshos, just at twilight, somebody comes in and wants to buy something, mikri v'shakil, and the seller inaccurately uses these measures, and nobody will know the difference. You know, the seller is not looking at this rushed moment, it's so urgent for the seal, and there's no one making spot checks, and therefore we have to avoid any sort of illegal and inaccurate measurements. We can't hold on to it. So even though people are very busy on Erev Shabbos, it could be that somebody comes in, he needs, and that's usually Erev Shabbos, that's what he needs desperately, to buy some sort of measurement of oil or wine or whatever it might be. And in such a confused state, he may be tempted, the mocher, to use a measurement that's inaccurate. Now, Tanya Nami Hochi, we learned also in a brisa, lo yasha odam midah chasero yaser v'toch beso afilu hi ovit shel mei raglayim. And that seems to be an absolute rule which knows no exception whatsoever. Okay, we'll stop here.